Good afternoon. It's 30 degrees in Richland Center. WRCO News Time is 12:07. For WRCO, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Republican Donald Trump's support has grown broadly since he last sought the presidency. In his defeat of Democrat Kamala Harris, Trump won a bigger percentage of the vote in each one of the 50 states and Washington, D.C. than he did 4 years ago. According to an Associated Press analysis, he won more actual votes than in 2020 in 40 states. Even with turnout lower, Trump received 2.5 million more votes than he did in 2020. Trump cut into places where Harris needed to overperform to win a close election, especially in swing state metropolitan areas that have been Democrats' winning electoral strongholds. Now Democrats are weighing how to regain traction ahead of the midterm elections in 2 years. The chair of the Democratic National Committee has informed party leaders that the organization will elect his successor just days after Donald Trump is inaugurated. Jamie Harrison set the guidelines for an election that will speak volumes about how the party wants to present itself during 4 more years of Trump in the White House. Democrats' selection of a leader after Vice President Kamala Harris's 2024 loss will be a key starting point as the party starts to move forward, including addressing any structural problems and determining how they want to oppose Trump. Two Democrats have announced campaigns for chair, Ken Martin and Martin O'Malley. Repairs at the Richland Primary School will not cost as much as first thought. Richland School District Administrator Steve Board reported at last night's meeting that 4 classrooms at the primary building are sinking and will have to be repaired. The Building and Grounds Committee at first had thought that the repairs would cost the district around $1.5 million over budget. The estimate has since come in at a much lower bid of $435,000. The funds will be covered by savings from the new roof. Board also reported that the district has 2 Board of Election seats up for election on the spring 2025 ballot. The 2 seats on the ballot are Area 2 West, covering the village of Boaz, and the townships of Bloom, Sylvan, Marshall, Aiken, Dayton, Richwood, and Eagle, currently held by Aaron Unbehan, and Area 3 City, currently held by Neil Huntmer. Both are for a 3-year term. Those interested in running for the positions can start circulating nomination forms December 1st. All nomination paperwork is due January 7th. Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Dr. Sherry Johnson, presented the Department of Public Instruction report cards for the Richland School District, Richland Center High School, and Richland Center Intermediate School. The district improved to a 4-star rating with a score of 72 out of 100. This is an improvement over last year's score of 67.7. The high school also improved over last year from 64.8 to 70.1, and the intermediate school improved from 73.9 to 77. The DPI does not provide a report card for buildings that have a low number of students, such as the Partner and Richland Online Academy, as well as for those buildings that only have students under 3rd grade. Johnson reported that chronic absenteeism is a big factor in bringing scores down. The pandemic is still affecting the score of all schools' averages. Out of the 6 schools in the Southwest Conference, the Richland District is in 3rd place, with River Valley in 1st with a score of 74.1 and Platteville at 72.5. Out of the 10 area school districts, Richland Center is in 2nd place, following River Valley in 1st. Dr. Johnson also congratulated district staff for the improvements made over the past 3 years, as the district has gone from 32nd place among all schools in the CESA 3 district in 2021-22 to 9th in 2023-24. Board member Scott Bailing reported that a wage study has been completed and the district wages have improved and are now competitive. As a result, when there are openings in the district, more applications are being received. Sean Josem, Special Education Director, submitted the Seclusion and Restraint Report to the board. Seclusion means the involuntary confinement of a student apart from other students in a room or area from which the student is physically prevented from leaving. Staff must maintain constant supervision of the student, and seclusion may be used only as long as necessary to resolve the risk to the physical safety of the student or others. Physical restraint means a restriction that immobilizes or reduces the ability of a student to freely move his or her torso, arms, legs, or head. The law prohibits the use of seclusion or physical restraint by school staff, except in very limited circumstances where a student's behavior presents a clear, present, and imminent risk to the physical safety of students and/or school staff. The law also requires at least one staff member in each school where restraint might be used to be trained. In the Richland School District, administrators, regular education staff, student services, special education teachers, and support staff in each building are trained in nonviolent crisis intervention training. Wisconsin schools are required to submit a report containing information on the use of seclusion and restraint within schools. During the 2023-24 school year, the Richland School District had a total of 27 seclusion and restraints across the district. All of the instances involve special education students and trained staff intervention. The board also received a report from principals regarding discipline within their building, covering the first quarter. Due to the shifting of grades to new locations at the start of the 2021-22 school year, comparing data prior to this point would not provide an apples-to-apples view. Therefore, this year's data is compared only to data since the building reconfiguration. While the reports show an increase in discipline reports, it was noted that some things being reported have been added and more reports are being made. While the report shows bad behavior of students, it was noted that good behavior is also being celebrated. In action items, the Richland School Board approved the 2025-26 and 2026-27 district calendars, and the Spanish and Science Clubs to take a district-sponsored trip to Puerto Rico in June of 2026. The board also accepted the gift of a 1998 Yamaha motorcycle for the partner school from Emily and Alex Dolan. It will be used to fix up and learn from. This will be an opportunity to connect with local experts and work together to get the motorcycle running. No students will ride the motorcycle, and it will not be sold without taking the proper precautions regarding liability. The Richland School Board was also informed that historically, the Southwest Conference has scheduled non-conference games with smaller schools from the SWAL and Six Rivers Conferences due to their geographical proximity. However, in late 2023, the Six Rivers Conference committed to a super conference for basketball, baseball, and softball, which requires their schools to play 18 conference games, leaving only 6 non-conference games for basketball and 8 for baseball and softball. This change significantly reduces the SWC team's options for non-conference games, forcing them to look further for opponents. This development has accelerated discussions about the creation of a 10-team SWAL SWC conference, a concept that has gained momentum recently. Dodgeville Assistant Principal and Activities Director Joey Martin, along with River Valley's Jamie Heglin, are spearheading this realignment effort. In February 2024, they met with SWAL athletic directors and principals to discuss the proposal and provide an update on the ongoing talks. On October 10th, the SWC athletic directors and principals voted to move forward with submitting the SWC SWAL plan to the WIAA following the November 80s principals meeting, officially starting the realignment process. If approved, this plan could take effect in the 2029-2030 school year. UW-Madison has jumped up in the research rankings. For years, it was the number 8 on the list of universities that spent the most on research, but now it's number 6. That's because it has $1.7 billion in research expenditures. About half of that came from federal grants and awards. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced $400,000 has been designated to construct a new facility for the City of New Lisbon's Law Enforcement Department. The new facility will reduce safety risk posed by the current century-old building upgrade infrastructure and improve efficiency. The funding comes through the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Community Facilities Grant Program. The new facility will feature designated areas for offices of the police chief, administrative assistant, and officers to ensure the safety of both law enforcement officials and civilians entering and exiting the building. It will also include a waiting room, break room, interrogation room, evidence and evidence storage rooms, armory, storage spaces, training area, bathroom areas, and a drive-through squad bay. The Department of Transportation is getting funds for sustainable construction research. The $32 million will go to create a new program with a goal of incorporating materials that reduce greenhouse gas emissions. DOT will launch a pilot program to study and incorporate evidence-based strategies that will be able to measure the environmental impact of construction materials. The outcomes of this pilot program will be used to inform future infrastructure projects to use more low-carbon transportation materials in Wisconsin. According to the United Nations Environment Program, about 37% of global emissions come from the buildings and construction sector. Two men were arrested for poaching in Avoca. Iowa County Sheriff Michael Peterson reports that on Friday, law enforcement and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources received multiple tips in the Clyde Township of poachers looking for a deer they had shot overnight. During the investigation, a search warrant was served at an address on East Clyde Street in the village of Avoca. This search warrant resulted in the arrest of two individuals, Mark L. Reek, 36, of Avoca, for possession of a firearm contrary to an injunction, which is a felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia, a misdemeanor. And Kim H. Wardell, 69, of Muscadet. Wardell was charged with two misdemeanors for resisting or obstructing an officer and possession of drug paraphernalia, and two felony counts of possession of methamphetamine and bail jumping. He was also arrested on a probation hold. Parts of the illegally harvested deer were located at the residence. The investigation continues, and further charges will be referred to the Iowa County District Attorney's Office by Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources today announced preliminary deer harvest and license sale totals for the opening weekend of the 2024 gun deer season. Preliminary figures indicate the number of gun deer hunters in Wisconsin slightly increased compared to 2023. As of 11:59 Sunday night, sales for gun deer privileges, which includes gun, archery, crossbow, conservation patron, and sports licenses, reached 778,111, up 0.48% from the same time last year. Of those, 541,258 were for gun privileges only. Final license sales figures will be available in January, at which time DNR staff will perform a thorough analysis and interpretation. In total, hunters registered 89,203 deer statewide during the opening weekend of the gun deer hunt, compared to 90,831 registered for the same period in 2023. This is a 1.8% decrease from a year ago and 4.7% below the five-year average. Hunters registered a total of 49,038 antlered deer on opening weekend, compared to 51,261 in 2023, a 4.3% decrease. The antlerless harvest was 40,165, which is up 1.5% from last year. In the Southern Farmland District, which includes Crawford, Grant, Iowa, Richland, Sauk, and Vernon counties, there were a total of 20,567 deer harvested, which included 10,585 antlered and 9,982 antlerless. Vernon County had the most deer harvested at 2,797, followed by Grant with 2,160 and Sauk with 1,908. Richland County reported a total harvest of 1,657. Crawford County saw 1,782 deer harvested, and Iowa County had a total of 993. Conditions for opening weekend this year were mostly cloudy and dry, with some light precipitation in places Saturday morning. Mornings were cool and quiet. Temperatures rose to near or above 40 each day, which made for comfortable conditions for hunters. Reports from the field varied widely from good deer activity to little or no daytime deer movement. Some reports of breeding activity were still coming in, but overall, deer sightings and harvest were down as expected, given the late opening date relative to the peak of the breeding season. At this time, the DNR has no firearm-involved hunting incidents to report during the opening weekend of the 2024 gun deer season. During the opening weekend of the 2023 season, the DNR reported 2 firearm-involved hunting incidents. The DNR reminds hunters to always use the 4 rules of firearm safety, tab K, as a cornerstone for safe and successful hunting. Navigating airports and airplanes can be stressful at the best of times of the year. As millions of travelers take to the skies over the busy holiday period, that stress can hit new heights. Flight attendants say give yourself a buffer day. Wherever you're traveling, there's a potential for storms and weather delays, which of course can cause cancellations. Leave buffer time for layovers too. Sure, the idea of sitting around the airport waiting isn't appealing, but missing your connecting flight is a much worse outcome. If you're still considering a last-minute holiday getaway, there may still be some good deals out there, usually midweek. Book directly through the airline, because third-party platforms are more likely to automatically book travelers onto flights with super tight connection times. Opt for the first flight of the day, because any delays or cancellations will roll on throughout the day. If you have children, book flights around nap times. Black Friday is traditionally the single busiest shopping day of the year. It arrives a little late this year on November 29th, with many stores advertising Black Friday prices much earlier. Instead of setting an alarm to brave crowds for deeply discounted items, dedicated shoppers are expected to look for deals online if they haven't already finished their holiday shopping. Retail experts predict increased mobile shopping and tighter budgets in a shorter shopping season. If you do decide to shop in person on Black Friday, the Better Business Bureau offers these tips to make your shopping experience productive and maybe even enjoyable. Have a plan to make the most of Black Friday deals. Start with a list of items and use sale flyers and promotions to determine which store has the best price for the big ticket and popular items. Set a budget and stick with it before heading out. Read the fine print. Some retailers may offer an additional percentage off the purchase, but could exclude certain deals or items, such as doorbusters. Watch for companies boasting a high percentage off. The item may be 75% off, but the original price could be inflated. Carefully check the price tags, terms, and conditions. See if competitors have the item at a better price or have a better return policy. Check the reviews. If you're not familiar with the retailer, visit BBB.org to check their complaint and review history. Read product reviews on extremely discounted items. Plan out the excursion. Make a game plan of which stores to visit at which time and what items to buy at each store. Some retailers only honor certain sale ads early in the morning and have limited inventory of those items. Sign up for emails, alerts, and reward programs. Many stores send their best Black Friday deals and exclusive coupons to subscribers to their emails. Sign up before the holiday season, then unsubscribe afterward if needed. Use reward cards or credit cards that offer cashback points or other benefits. Know the return policy and warranty information. Pass any information about returns, exchanges, repairs, and warranties to the person using the item. Gift receipts are an easy way for recipients to return or exchange a gift if it's not just right, but make sure the item can be returned before purchasing. Go online. You may not have to leave the house if the store offers the deal online. Look for free shipping and in-store pickup options to avoid the crowds. Coupon sites and browser extensions can offer discount codes that may bring the delivery price below that of an in-person exchange. See if the upcoming Cyber Monday price might be lower than the Black Friday one. Shop with confidence this Black Friday by choosing businesses that prioritize trust and ethics in the marketplace. You'll have peace of mind, avoid scams, and make smart purchasing decisions. For more information, visit BBB.org. Those wishing to be a recipient in this year's Smiles for a Child are reminded that applications must be returned to Richland County Health and Human Services by 4:30 Wednesday afternoon in order to receive gifts at the toy distribution next month.